Chapter 53. Sorensen touched the green button, and Reacher heard telephone sounds over the speakers again, weirdly clear and detailed, like before. Sorensen said,
"You have something for me?"
A man's voice said, "Yeah, we have some preliminary results." The voice was tired and a little breathless. Reacher thought the guy was walking and talking at the same time, probably stumbling out to the fresh air and the bright sunlight after long and unpleasant hours in a white-tiled basement room, breathing deep, blinking, yawning and stretching. Reacher could picture the scene, a pair of institutional doors, a short flight of concrete steps, a parking lot, maybe planters and benches. Back in the day, the guy would have been pausing at that point to light a welcome cigarette. Sorensen said,
"Go ahead."
The guy said, "You want me to be honest?"
"You usually are."
"Then I can't promise you the incineration was post-mortem. It might have been, or it might not have been. There's something that might have been damaged to what might have been a rib. If I squint a bit, I could see it as a gunshot wound to the chest, which might have been enough. It's in what would have been the general area of the heart. But I wouldn't say so in court. The other side had laughed me out of the room. There's far too much heat damage for conclusions about external injuries."
"Gut feeling?"
"Right now my gut feeling is I want to retrain as a hairdresser. This thing is about the worst I've ever seen." Sorensen was quiet for a long moment. Then she said,
"Anything else?"
"I started from the beginning, with the pelvic girdle. That's the only way to confirm gender with a case like this. And it was totally clear. The pelvic bones had been reasonably well protected by a thick layer of fat." Reacher looked up. Del Fuenzo wasn't fat. She was thin. Sorensen said,
"And?"
"It's beyond a reasonable doubt the corpse was male." Sorensen ran through the details with her guy, like a crash course in forensic anthropology. Reacher remembered some of the words and some of the principles from the classroom. He had studied such things once, partly as a professional requirement and partly out of interest. There were four things to look for with pelvises. First was the iliac spread. The ilia were the big bones shaped like butterfly wings, and female ilia were flared wider and shaped more like a cradle, like cupped hands, with the anterior spines farther apart, whereas male ilia were narrower and tighter and much more straight up and down, more like a guy on a riverbank describing a foot-long trout. Then second, the hole in the ischium was small and triangular in females and large and round in males. And third, the angle across the pubic arch was always greater than 90 degrees in females and rounded and always less than 90 degrees in males and sharp. And the fourth was the clincher, of course. The space between the ischia was big enough in females for a baby's head to fit through. Not so with males. Not even close. Pelvises didn't lie. They couldn't be confused one for the other. Even a million-year-old pelvis dug out of the ground in pieces was quite clearly either male or female. Short of being ground to powder, a pelvis determined gender. No question, no doubt at all, end of story, thank you and good night. That was what Reacher had learned in the classroom, and that was what the voice on the phone confirmed. Sorensen said,
"So it wasn't Del Fuenzo?"
The voice on the phone said, "Correct, and I'm happy for you, but that's all I can reliably tell you. It was a male human being. Anything more than that would be pure guesswork." Sorensen clicked off the call and turned to Reacher and said,
"You knew, didn't you?"
Reacher said, "I suspected."
"Why?"
"Nothing else made sense after Lucy was taken. I figured Del Fuenzo might still be a captive somewhere, maybe freaking out, maybe refusing to cooperate, and the only way to shut her up was to go get her kid."
"To calm her down?"
"Or to threaten her with."
"So now we have two of them in danger."
"Or maybe we don't," Reacher said. "Maybe we have two of them as safe as houses. Because there are other potential conclusions, too. But they could be wrong conclusions. They could be embarrassingly grand pronouncements."
"Which one died? King or McQueen? Or was it someone we never heard of yet?"
"It was King, I think. He was a little fat, especially around the middle. And he would fit the theory."
"Which is what?"
Something McQueen said when we pulled off the interstate for gas.
You told me this already. He said you should have trusted him.
Before that, I was dubious about coming off there, and he got a little impatient and said he was in charge.
Maybe he was. One or the other had to be. I doubt it was a democracy.
But there's a sound in those specific words, don't you think? In charge? You have special agents in charge. We had officers in charge of this and that. A charge is something you're given. You're entrusted with it. It's authority that devolves down an official hierarchy.
That's very subjective.
I think a regular bad guy would have said, I'm the boss here, something like that.
So what are you saying? You think McQueen is ex-military or ex-law enforcement?
Reacher didn't answer that. He said, and then he said the thing about trusting him, as if he was worthy of trust, somehow as of right. And then he shot at me and missed.
Probably not either military or law enforcement then. Lousy marksman.
Maybe he was a great marksman.
But he was in the room with you. It was what, about 8 feet? How can he be a great marksman and miss from 8 feet?
Maybe he missed on purpose. Sorensen said nothing. Reacher said, I didn't really think much of it at the time. I was just happy to be alive. But it was a hell of a high shot. It was a foot over my head, maybe more. I remember saying it would have missed the motel keeper if he'd been standing on his own shoulders. It was exaggerated. It must have been about 10 degrees above the horizontal. More than 11 point something, to be precise.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
I'm serious. There's more. He moved his position so he was blocking my view of the car.
So?
So he was blocking their view of me. As if he needed them to think he was doing one thing, when really he was doing another thing.
He missed, that's all. People do sometimes.
I think it was deliberate.
He killed the guy in the pumping station, Reacher. He killed his own partner, apparently. He burned him to death. Why would he miss you deliberately? What makes you special?
Only one way to find out, Reacher said.
Which is what?
Tell me your phone number.
Why?
I'm gonna need it.
I left my phone in Del Fuenzo's house, remember?
You're about to go get it back. And your car, and your reputation. You're about to be a hero.